Would you pray with me? Holy God, as we hear your word this morning, the word that speaks of the coming of your Spirit upon your people, give us the Spirit to understand it, to know that it is the truth, and how it can be used in our lives. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. My senior year in college, some enterprising students figured out a way to climb up to the high portico of the library, which is about three stories up over the front porch. And the name of the building was Thaw Hall. And they climbed up there and managed to change it so it said, ha ha. Now, I don't know if they were making a judgment about the education that they were receiving, or just get it for fun. I'm sure those who put the name of the hall up that high figured it was out of reach of enterprising students. But it wasn't to these students. You know, life can get pretty wild at times. And those charged with keeping order can find their hands full. In a sense, this is what happened and what we're faced with today in the Pentecost story. But the story is reversed. Chaos breaks out of order. Think about it. Everything's quiet. It's the morning, about 9 o'clock. Quiet as they can be in a city. And all of a sudden, there's the sound of a freight train like a tornado. And flames are dancing around, and this small group of simple Galileans begins to speak in the languages of all the nations represented in Jerusalem. Out of order, chaos. Now, as we heard, many believe that they were seeing the results of some all-night drinking party. But these people were not suffering from hangovers. Rather, they were standing tall and speaking incredibly good news. Now, as I said when I shared with you my adult talk, speaking in the languages in Pentecost is not speaking in tongues, or what we also call glossolalia. This was sharing of the good news so that all could hear and understand and receive it. This was breaking down the barriers, the barricades that divide people, which we humans put up to keep order in our lives. And we are great at dividing so that we can feel secure. My favorite musical is Les Mis. And what's the biggest piece on the stage that becomes especially apparent in the battle scene? The barricade. The barricade that separates the French troops out there and the rebels, the students on this side. It delineated between the two. It provided a line of demarcation. We will not let them get beyond this barricade. Well, those disciples speaking different languages were destroying barricades. This was not just a secret little belief among 11 people. This was now going out into the world. There were no lines, us and them. It was all of us. The good news is not the possession of any one group. No one denomination, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic group has dibs on the good news. Or can mediate who can hear or receive or share the gospel. However, we've tried awful hard as a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, to do that over the centuries. How many people have died in the name of Christianity because they did not believe the right thing? And into this human quest for order comes the Holy Spirit like a fire-spitting tornado. And in the story of Elijah on Mount Sinai, we remember Elijah saw a powerful wind and fire. But God wasn't in the wind and fire. God was in the still, small voice. But in the Pentecost event, God is in the wind and the fire. The mighty wind. The Holy Spirit is about creating new possibilities. Just as surely as the tornado changes the landscape after it blows through. And these new possibilities call us and all people to participate, to take part in the sharing of God's love to the whole world, in whatever way we have the gift for, as the author of 1 Corinthians writes. The flames push us to speak hope and peace to a world that's fractured by war, economics, religion, and class. And yet, the church today persists in setting up barricades. Inuma Okoro, in an article in Sojourners magazine about the Acts passage today, writes, "The modern church, however, has grown exceptionally good at minimizing the powerful role of the Holy Spirit in our individual and corporate lives. If we downplay the Spirit's presence, then it is we who decide what it means to be the church, who gets to be a part of God's kingdom, and what role we will play in it all." The Holy Spirit energizes the Church of Jesus Christ and breathes new ideas and visions. Remember Peter's speech to the people? He says, quotes the prophet of Joel, the prophet Joel, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Prophetic preaching, visions and dreams. Oh, how the keepers of order hate those things. Just ask the leaders, Mubarak and his administration. Just ask King George III when that little band of rebels over on the other side of the pond started an uprising. They hate when people get visions and dream dreams. And yet, that's how God renews the church. When the old ways become calcified and hard and set, the Spirit rushes in and breaks everything apart again to allow for new things, new ways. We are a church called to be wind and fire in the world, to fill the world with life-giving hope, offering the Spirit of God. Are we doing that? Can we sit here and say we feel the Spirit moving in and through us to touch the lives of others? I hope we can. Sometimes, though, it seems like, and I speak of myself in this, the only wind we feel is the occasional brush of wind coming from the ceiling fans. Or the lights that we can control with our dimmers. People need to hear God's power and love in a language they can understand. And if we did tell them, they might think we were crazy. They might say, "Don't you know you're not supposed to talk about religious things along with politics?" We have streamers here today to remind us of the Holy Spirit. Not just that the Holy Spirit is in this place, but in each one of us. Where is that showing up? I really believe we saw some of it yesterday, when we fed almost 300 people. And that's what we should be doing every day, not feeding 300 people every day. Don't get scared. But we need to be sharing the Spirit with people every day by telling them why we believe what we believe, why we come to this place called a church, why we believe in Jesus Christ. You know, we may not set up barricades on purpose, but they are there nonetheless. And we have to let go of them and let the Spirit rush in and through our lives, our words, our actions. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. True story told by the Reverend Barbara Lundblad. A few years ago, I talked with a friend of mine who's a pastor in New England. "How's your building program going?" I asked. "Oh," she said, "we ran out of money before we got to the worship space." And I thought to myself, what could be more important than the worship space? But I kept my words to myself. "We renovated the basement," she said. "You know, we have a shelter there for homeless men. We put in new showers and renovated the old kitchen. The basement was so drab and the showers, well, there was only one shower and it was lousy. On the Sunday before the shelter opened, the worship service began as usual in the sanctuary. When it came time for communion, the people carried the bread and the cup downstairs to the basement. The whole congregation gathered around the empty beds. They passed the bread and the cup around the circle. The body of Christ given for you. That night, the shelter beds were full and the worship space still needed a lot of work. The church calendar said it was still the first Sunday of Advent. But people in that congregation knew that Pentecost wasn't over. Pentecost shaped their life together, and it had everything to do with economics. In the face of need, the renovation of the worship space, the sanctuary, was not a priority. The church priority was not for themselves, but for those they understood that God was calling them to minister to. Now, I am not going to suggest that we give up building the roof. If I said that, I think the Building and Grounds Committee would have a few choice words for me, and they wouldn't be allowed to be said in this room. At some point, though, and this is important with a church that's struggling, as we are, at some point it's got to stop being about us and about being all those out there that we are called to care for. Can we let the Spirit in? Can we dare to let go of how things have always been and see something new? Let's continue putting some visions and dreams into action. When you leave today, you'll be getting a carnation from the worship committee. And attached is a card that says, "Please pass this on." Pass on the carnation to somebody that you know that could use it, that needs to feel touched. But pass on the Spirit of this day, not just to the one person you give this to, but to everyone. Just remember, don't forget this too quickly. Several months ago, would you have thought that we could have served 300 people at a fish and chips dinner? Even the guy who started is shaking his head, no. But the Spirit had a different idea. We never thought that we could afford to offer 40 meals to people who could not pay. But the Spirit, working through the session, and individuals who said, "I can't come, but I'm going to buy a ticket for somebody else," we were able to offer 40 meals. The Spirit working through the session and those individuals had a different idea. Isn't it wonderful what the Spirit can do? Let's keep using it. Let's keep spreading it. Amen.